program number 21, Hartford Township. The Alpha Omega Chapter, Alpha Delta State of the Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, an honorary women's educators group in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation, presents our history of Hartford Township and its schools. In 1786, Connecticut ceded to the Congress her claim to all western lands except a strip of land south of Lake Erie, extending 120 miles beyond Pennsylvania's western boundary. At once, Connecticut's General Assembly began looking at ways to have this western reserve land surveyed and sold, but it took 9 years for them to come to an agreement on a plan. Finally, in 1795, a committee of 8 citizens representing each county of Connecticut was appointed. They were charged to sell the estimated 3 million acres at a cost of at least 33 cents an acre before the land was surveyed. To make the venture even more speculative, the committee was required to dispose of the entire Western Reserve before completing the sale on any single portion of it. A group of purchasers banded together under the name of the Connecticut Land Company and took over the Western Reserve. Although this company was never incorporated, the 57 members chose 7 directors as managers, and the arduous task of surveying the land into townships 5 miles square was begun. Moses Cleveland, head of the surveying group, was also directed to clear away any remaining Indian claims. After 2 years, the directors were ready to allocate the land by lot and by shares to the stockholders of the company. Because the land was so uneven in its worth, parcels of land were numbered and classified according to value and desirability. Shareholders drew lots according to how much they had invested in the company. And from then on, each proprietor was responsible for disposition or settlement of his own lands. Draft number 73 was drawn by Uriah Holmes and Ephraim Root, who had jointly invested $12,903.23. This draft drew all of Hartford Township, which was 17,317 acres of land. For Holmes and Root, this was strictly a financial venture, and they must have felt dismayed when their first sale of 2 160-acre plots to Edward Brockway for the sum of $500. It was very little more than they had paid. However, Titus Brockway became their agent in the reserve and disposed of most of the land for about $2.50 an acre, a good return on their investment. The name Hartford was derived because so many of the original settlers migrated from Hartford, Connecticut. Now, this transplantation began in the summer of 1799 when Edward Brockway, Isaac Jones, and Asheel Brainerd made the long trek westward. Working together, they built a cabin just north of the center and cleared enough land to plant a crop of wheat. As winter drew near, Brockway and Jones went back to Connecticut, but they returned the following spring with their families. Brainerd's and the Charles Mary family, many other families soon followed. In 1804, a colony of more than 10 families left Hartford, Connecticut together. The occasion of their departure was of so much importance, a meeting was called and a farewell sermon preached by the pastor of the Congregational Church. They started on their 600-mile journey with ox teams and wagons and arrived in the new Hartford about 6 weeks later. By 1805, there were 24 families in Hartford Township. There were many more after a colony of German families from Cumberland City, Pennsylvania, made their home in the southeastern part of the township that following year. In spite of the hardships in the early years of the settlements, these people were eager to establish churches and schools so that their children would carry on the tradition of literacy that had been so important in the New England society. School was first taught in 1804 in a log cabin at Berg Hill on the Captain Thomas Thompson property. Miss Tamar Bartholomew had 24 students coming from both Hartford and Smithfield to the North, as Vernon was then called. The citizens of Hartford celebrated the 4th of July, 1805, by clearing the green at the center of brush and trees. Shortly afterwards, a schoolhouse was built on it, the first frame building, as well as the first public one in the township. This building was in use for many years, also serving as a meeting place for church organizations and as a town hall. Miss Amanda Finney was schoolmistress for the first summer terms, and Wells Andrew was teacher for the winter terms. Among succeeding teachers at this school was Theodore Wade, who taught there for two sessions. He had 106 students in his day and evening schools. The night school was devoted to teaching spelling and writing. The salary for all of these labors was $17 a month. Other schools were started in various parts of the township, all of them subscription schools, and most probably of short duration. But these settlers took their parental responsibility very seriously and banded together to provide as much schooling for their children as they possibly could. In 1811, township government was organized. But the Hartford officials were concerned only with construction and maintenance of roads and highways, and promoted education only in an indirect manner. In Hartford, as in other townships of the Western Reserve, very important civil officials were the two overseers of the poor. Now, this title had a very beneficent custodial ring to it, but their actual function is made clear by this entry in the township clerk's record. Quote, to either of the constables of Hartford Township, greetings. Whereas it had been represented to the overseers of the poor for said Hartford Township that the widow Hugel, a transient person residing within said township, and it is probable that she may become chargeable to said township, you are therefore command immediately to warn the said widow Hugo forthwith to leave and depart out of said township, and of this writ make legal service and due return to the clerk of said township. It was signed by the overseers and dated September 25th, 1812. Further notation in the record indicates that the above message was read aloud to the said Mary Hugo by the constables. Thus only householders could dwell within the township, and settlers thus avoided the property taxes they would have incurred if they had to assume the cost for support, medical care, education, and burial expense of the unwanted poor. Though this seems unbelievably heartless to us today, it must be realized that to these industrious, frugal farmers, poverty was a sin, the result of slothfulness and lack of character. This method of avoiding contamination of their community was only right and proper. Through the apprentice system, individual householders did assume the care of the community's orphan children and even some outsiders' poor children. In this arrangement, the child would be bonded to the master until 18 or 21 years old. In return for their services, the master promised to provide a home, food, clothing, and a practical education. The practical education was mainly sufficient reading instruction so that they would be able to read the Bible, an ability essential to their salvation. This closed society arrangement did affect the schools in that it made available more money for education than would have been possible in the early years when just providing sustenance was such a struggle. Ohio law eventually mandated that townships assume the responsibility for the schools. In 1828, the Hartford Township trustees met jointly and the trustees of Brookfield and established eight district schools. Two of the eight schools were to be the joint responsibility of Hartford and Brookfield. Each one-room district school had its own local board of directors, so that within the township there was considerable variance in the school tax rate, the condition of the school, and the program offered. For 25 years, the trustees were the civil officers responsible for the schools and disbursed township money to all of the district schools. In 1840, township records show that $359.09 was the total sum spent on education for all eight district schools for that year. Undoubtedly, that was less than $2 per pupil per year. A reorganization of the district schools was begun in 1853 to fulfill a new state requirement consolidating all of the district schools into one township system controlled by a single board of education. A representative from each of the 10 districts then in existence was appointed to serve on the new board. Gad Hart was chosen chairman of the meetings committee for these purposes, to study curriculum and textbooks and rules and regulations for the schools, to reorganize and sub-district schools in the township, to handle school funds with the township treasurer, to study the new law for duties imposed upon the school board. Reading, writing, and spelling were the only required subjects. However, additional branches were outlined that could be offered to pupils of suitable age whose parents or guardians requested such instruction. The additional offerings included such courses as arithmetic, geography, grammar, and physiology. The board eventually adopted McGuffey Readers, Stoddard's Mental Arithmetic, and Thompson's Higher Arithmetic, Mitchell's Geography, and Pineo's Grammar and Cutler's Primary Physiology. One of the chief problems of these schools was the rapid teacher turnover, a problem common to most schools for many years. According to the board's annual report for 1878, four gentlemen and eight ladies were hired that year to serve in seven schools. Only one lady taught in the same school for the entire 27 weeks the school was in session that year. The total amount paid to all teachers for that year, $1,244.82. Also, teachers were held liable for any damage to the schoolhouse or other school property while they were conducting school. The school directors decided how much was to be withheld from the teacher's wages to cover the damages. The teacher was granted the right to recover such losses from the persons responsible, but it probably was a right that amounted to very little in actual practice. The district schools were finally consolidated into one centralized school in 1906. The development of higher education also started very early in Hartford Township. In 1824, John Crowell from Warren, Ohio, began teaching secondary courses at the home of Captain Thomas Thompson, who had previously sponsored the first reading school in Hartford. He was succeeded by the Reverend Wells Andrews, son of Asa Andrews, an 1805 settler. Mr. Andrews was a Yale graduate. In 1847, there were 150 students coming from all over Trumbull and Mercer County, Pennsylvania, to the Hartford High School, taught by John Lynch, Mary Connett, and F.V. Hayden. Mr. Lynch stayed for several years, and Mary Connett became Mrs. Lynch. Under their enthusiastic leadership, the school was moved to larger quarters in the old Congregational Church. Now the community had raised over $1,500 by subscription so that the building could be repaired and refitted for school purposes. At this time also, a corporation was formed to operate the Hartford High School. The Incorporation Act was approved by the General Assembly in 1850. This was still a private institution providing college course and attracting students from a wide area. In 1876, the Hartford Academy had 132 ladies and gentlemen enrolled. Finally, in 1885, the Hartford Academic Institute gave way to a public high school operated by the Hartford Special School District in the same building. Tuition was free for all Hartford Township youth under 21, but non-residents were charged $2. Thus, we see how the development of an educational system in Hartford Township was patterned after the New England model they had left behind. Reading schools and parents' homes gave way to district schools serving students in all parts of the township district schools, with local boards of education followed by a consolidated system of district schools. The district schools were finally replaced by a centralized school serving the entire community. High schools followed the same pattern originally started by an individual teachers and parents' homes later developing into corporate enterprises and finally becoming a public tax-supported institution for the entire community. Although this same pattern evolved over the Western Reserve, Hartford Township is distinctive in that schools started up so early in its settlement and secondary education followed so quickly. Its high school and academy were so outstanding that Hartford was regarded as the Athens of Trumbull County. The script was written by Betty Burrell, narration by Gene Roberts. These programs were prepared by the Delta Kappa Gamma Society in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation to promote a better understanding of the history of the townships of Trumbull County with a focus on early education and the role of the woman educators.